You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Notorious, so notorious.
Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Sines and me, Scott Quiggle. Hey everyone, before we get started today, I'd like to ask a favor of you. Please go to our website at twooldolphins.com and sign up for email notifications. The only time we typically send anything out is when we publish a podcast, and you will receive that email immediately upon us publishing it, which guarantees that you will hear the podcast probably a day before anyone else, as it's taking very long to populate the various platforms, you know, iTunes and Google Play and Spotify these days, so do that. We'd also like to grow the podcast, so if you could follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, that would be great. Tell your friends about us. That would be even better. Thanks. Hello and welcome once again to Two Old Dolphins podcast. Today I have Alex in the studio with me today. How you doing, Alex?
Doing great.
This is the second episode of our seventh season. I still can't get over.
Isn't that awesome?
We're in season seven.
That's great. Really great.
All for the fun of it, man.
Yep, that's what it is. Yep. Doing things we love.
Yep. Well, we do love the Dolphins, but we've got an episode here where we're going to talk and go into some details about some major concerns we have. Today is March 8th, and there's, what, 5 days left? Five and a half?
Next Wednesday on the 13th, right?
Yeah, for us to get under the cap, and we're currently the second worst team in the NFL, with only the Chargers being slightly worse than us as far as being over the cap. And so we've all got some chagrin, I think, about losing Wilkins, about losing Hunt, and possibly cutting Howard, right? X?
Possibly. We
yeah, well, some
he's
people.
Gone. He's gone.
No, I mean, he's gone. I mean, possibly chagrin.
Oh, okay.
Some people felt it was time. And other people are like, well, you know, I mean, if we look back and make a list of the top five players that that Greer ever drafted, he's in the top five for sure.
So, oh, sure, for sure.
Yeah, if he's not at number one.
Well, he was drafted the first year, right? That we had our.
Well, he was GM.
The GM, yeah. Right? Let me see. Make double check.
Pretty sure.
Yes,
fairly
he was.
Sure.
Yeah, that was by far, in my opinion, the best draft that Greer had.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about drafts, and we might go deeper into Chris Greer if we decide that it's finally time for us to begin calling for his head, which we're not quite doing at this point. But, you know, you've heard us talk about in the past, we both feel he's a mediocre GM and he'll keep us mediocre forever. He's not the worst GM that we've had. If you compare him to a couple of the previous ones, he seems great.
Yeah, that's right. He does. So, he does.
But if you look at great GMs in the NFL who are putting together teams that can win, can beat good teams, can go to the playoffs, can win the playoffs, and aren't in cap hell, he's not one of them. So we've got all this to talk about. We've got some particular players that we want to talk about. I know there'll be more news within the next week around cuts and restructures and things like that. So this isn't the end-all, be-all, but it's just Alex in particular wanted to get some things off his chest.
Sure. And you said there's going to be news in the next week. There might be news on one of our players that is probably the cornerstone player on offense, and that's Tariq Hill. And I was in Miami last week, as
Mr.
you know.
Mr. 31 million.
Yeah, Mr. That's against the cap, yes. Yeah. And Hill, I know we're going to get into those cap numbers because it's very interesting that only a few selected players come up with.
I've got them up in front of me, so we can delve into whatever part you
if
want.
If you want to do that, or we could go straight to Hill. You
no,
call
let's
it.
Tell you. Go, you know, you opened it, opened the door.
The door's open. Okay. Yeah. Well, here's what's happening. I was in Miami, and I was talking to, I don't want to disclose exactly all the details yet, except this, okay? The person is a very reliable person. It's a person that works for a Fortune 500 company. And his colleague was talking to an attorney. And bottom line is, Hill, last year, his bodyguards accosted this gentleman, beat him unconscious, and there's going to be a lawsuit filed. So it's another lawsuit against Hill.
Yeah, they seem to piling up.
We had the one with the plus size model, of British that came, and allegedly she says he broke her leg and she had a metal plate put in it. And then we have, of course, all the children he's having all over the place. And there was a slap in the head in the dock. Here's my point. It's all this adds up to Hill is going to do something stupid. Because he's doing things that are stupid.
Yeah.
And his hit against the cap is so large. And his value is very large.
Yes. I mean,
he's our best player. Both. He's our cornerstone player on offense, right?
Yes.
I'm going to say something bold. I would like to see us trade him this year now. To relieve cap space. We are in a rebuilding mode. I don't care what anybody says. This team's not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up in my mouth because if we truly are deciding to rebuild again, Chris Greer can't be at the helm, and I will start ringing the bell.
Well, we're going to look into that. That's what I did today, Scott. I looked into what our draft has been like. We're going to do we can go deeper and deeper into this as we get closer to the draft.
Clearly, nothing is going to happen this year or before.
No,
the draft.
It's not. But we have to see what.
But
we
– when our regular season starts, if it continues to be mediocre as bad as I think is going to be, if cap issues still remain because of what we have to do next year, all these things, I'm going to start ringing the funeral bell again the way we did for Gase.
And I think
will be for Chris Greer, no matter what McDee does.
Let's look at the Hill situation first, and we'll dive into Mr. Greer.
Okay.
We all loved him when we got Hill. We love the magic that he brings, the quickness that he brings, the elite football player that he is. I think the guy is a complete mental case, and I believe this mental case.
Have you listened to his podcast?
Actually, I have, yes, and I actually hasn't been too bad in the podcast.
Okay. Think about our podcast and how honest we are and how we are ourselves when we're talking. We're not.
Neither one of
us are trying to be someone we're not. This is who we are.
Yes.
And so I kind of think of other podcasters when I'm listening to them the same way. And for
most
of them, I think they are that way. So I have meant to listen to his podcast, and I have not done it. So I can't pass a judgment on his character until I get a feel for him with his own words.
Well, he's kind of cool. His podcast, I liked it. It was very straightforward, very honest. My problem with him is his behavior. I think he's on a one-way ticket straight to hell. And I mean it not in the biblical sense, in the sense that he's going to cause more and more trouble because the guy is a wreck right now.
Well, he's not managing his situation well.
No.
So for me, he can go be a baby daddy to a million girls.
That's right.
I don't care.
It could be, yeah. And, right? And he's doing it.
And that doesn't bother me a bit. I mean,
well, what bothers me is that, Scott, he's got about 4 lawsuits that are piling up.
Yes. And so the lawsuits that are around violence and crime, like, those type of things are
in Oklahoma,
really troubling.
Oklahoma State, there's a reason why he was taken in the 5th round. It's because he did have a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting a pregnant woman. The assault on the woman is not a good thing. It's very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then he broke his child's arm when he was, again, investigated, found innocent. And I think that has more to do with, I believe, money. because he had good lawyers, and he got away with it. He did break the child's arm. The six-year-old broke his arm. Okay, well, let's give him another chance. He comes to Miami, and you have that stupid incident in the dock, which was ridiculous to raise your hand to anybody. You now have this lady from England. Who knows what the truth is there, but it doesn't look well. It's another lawsuit.
There has to be video of that.
Well,
somewhere.
But here's the point. You don't see lawsuits like this against...
When you're the $31 million man, you get lawsuits all the time.
You get
people who allege contact in any way trying to get their payday.
Sure, that could be the case.
But when there's an aggregate number of them, when it keeps going up, unless you're running for president or something,
I'm convinced,
there's smoke, there's some kind of fire.
I'm convinced that Hill's going to do something really stupid and get suspended. That's what I believe.
Which will just screw us over six ways from Sunday because, one, we paid the most money for him and he dinged our cap in a big way. And, mm-hmm. two, he's not there on the field, which is where kicking ass, which is what he does when he's on the field.
And I say, on the field, he's great. Our offense performed well, except, as we know, in the big games. But we perform well. I think Hill's a great talent, a unique talent.
I see leadership stuff from him all the time. Too.
Yeah.
There are things that he says and does that make me like him.
Yeah, but he's
the
just
stuff with Waddle,
Tua.
And Tua, all of it. I mean that's leadership
okay,
stuff.
Okay, recently he
so
said.
So where's this truth and where's this demon?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I think he's got a good side and like life, this duality. And I believe with Hill, we're getting a tremendous athlete. I said our cornerstone player, but we're getting a guy that is a detraction for the team. A guy that just recently came out and said the Chiefs, Ravens were a better team than the Chiefs in another podcast. And he comes out and says that Tua.
That doesn't bother me.
That Tua is not really the leader that he should be, which
that
is
worries
true.
Me.
But
is also true.
But
we've seen it.
Again, yes. I'd rather have him.
We
talk
actually
to,
agree with him.
I'd rather have him talk to Tua and not airing those things.
Yes.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, and having said that, I'm going to say that I don't think we have the leadership in our team to really reel him in.
Yes.
Okay.
That's another whole point.
Have that
the culture that McD has created really seems to be players forward.
You know,
players
when you say
first.
Like read the Riot Act, I mean that's to sit down and say these are your consequences if you keep this up. Nobody's going to do that. Hill's going to be the highest paid wide receiver. So now he's not in the NFL. It's Evans, Mike Evans.
Hmm.
So that's going to be a problem. I know Hill in the restructuring is going to be. If we do restructure him this year, because we need to restructure him or Ramsey or both.
Or Chubb.
And maybe
again.
But Chubb would be. I don't know what's going to happen with Chubb, but that contract's going to look really nasty.
Yeah.
We're going to be paying the highest defensive end in the NFL for that guy. And I don't think he's worth it.
I think he's good, but I don't
he's
think
he's good,
worth
but he's
it.
Not. He's not a. You know,
not
there's
the
other defensive ends that are better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's causing trouble. But
remember, it's very rarely what you're worth and almost always what you negotiate in life. You know this.
Well.
You know it better than I do.
Yes, but I'm going to close this by saying that I really think the Dolphins, if we are smart, we will get rid of Hill now. And that's you're going to see the year goes by, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he finishes the year fantastic and there's no other incident. But I feel Hill will do something really stupid. We're going to lose him, and now he has value. We can trade him, create some cap space, and really try to rebuild this team, drafting a good receiver with that pick. There's plenty of receivers out there. They're not going to be Hill's quality. But Hill's what? What's his age right now? 31?
I don't know.
Well, let's look him
about
up.
About that, yeah.
I mean, I think Randall Hill is about, you can look it
there
up.
There you go with Randall again.
Randall, I know. Tyreek Hill. Cut that out. Tyreek Hill, it's got, you know, he's 30, going to be 31. What is he, Scott? Can you look?
Hey, Siri, how old is Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill is 30 years old.
This year will be 31.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he said he had plans to retire. I think with all these lawsuits, he won't be able to retire.
Got to keep
gonna
playing.
He's going to have to pay for a lot of baby mamas and a lot of lawsuits.
Settlements. A lot
settlements.
Of settlements.
Yeah. So I'm going to take a position I've never taken with you before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to completely oppose you. on Tyreek Hill. I'm going to take like a survey result, right?
What are you going to do? You're going to wait and see?
Strongly disagree, disagree, somewhat disagree, neither agree or disagree, somewhat agree, agree. You know, you've taken those things before, right?
I don't know. Bottom line is...
So I'm going to somewhat disagree with you.
So what do you think we should do? Right? Keep him and hope for the best?
Yes. I think having the best or one of the best wide receivers in the NFL and your cornerstone player, if you want to win, he must be kept. Okay? Those are a lot of conditions around that, which is why I don't like completely agree or whatever. I just a little bit disagree with you. I think he is our offense, and that without him, we're half of what we would be. I mean, I like Waddle. We've talked about him a lot in the past. He's shown at moments he could be number one, and he's shown at moments that he doesn't live up to being number one. So, and he's not Tyreek Hill. He's not.
He's not.
So.
No. No. Listen, I love what Hill
brings.
I'll
change my opinion if more shit happens, too.
But, yeah, but that's too late then.
Well, okay.
You know, so Hill goes out and hits another person, or this lawsuit hits the hits the fan.
Well, Hill didn't hit the person that you're talking about. His
body the one that I talked about, I didn't get to all the details, but he was walking out of a restaurant.
Yeah.
It was a rooftop situation. The only way to go was through Hill's private party. The guard stopped him. He said, "I got to go. This is the only way in." They laid their hands on him. They knocked him out, beat the hell out of the guy. Yeah, but again, these are his employees.
Yes.
He's going to get the lawsuit. There's no other way around it. But he's the one who employed them. I mean, if I employ somebody and they come to you and they're in a place and they kick the shit out of you, you know what's going to happen? The lawsuit is going to come to me.
That's right.
Because I'm the one who
the
employed
bodyguard
them.
Isn't the millionaire.
No,
you're
but
the millionaire.
And also, why are you hiring freaking lunatics that are beating people up?
Right.
You know, walk the guy through.
Yeah.
Well, he was with his wife.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about the bouncer job. Bouncers just don't beat people up.
They bounce people out.
Right.
You know, get them out of the place. And they did take him out, but after they knocked him out and beat
the
hell
out of him. But bad ones just launch into a fight and start throwing haymakers and all that stuff. So it's just like anything else, you have good ones and bad ones.
I think with the Hill situation, it's just going to continue getting worse. And at the end of the day, here's the question. I know all our Dolphin fans, we just want to win. That's what we're dying for. But do we really have a good character in Hill? I'm really seriously doubting that. And I think this character is going to get worse and worse because you go from beating a pregnant woman to potential child abuse to hitting people in a dock to tackling some oversized lady in somewhere to now this other incident. It's just too much for me. That's it. So my opinion is if we're going to save this Dolphin team from a lot of headaches, trade this guy now while he still has value, I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion on that.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But you know, if you turned around and said, "Hey, Scott, I talked to the GM of the Raiders, and he's willing to give us a 1, a 3, and a 2 next year, plus take the full contract."
Rock and roll. Well, he would have to take the contract, I hope. Yeah,
whatever.
We don't have to pay any of it.
Then I'm going to say yes with a caveat. Who is going to make those draft picks?
Well, let's talk about that.
I don't
that's the perfect
in
transition.
Chris Greer. Making those picks.
Here's the perfect transition into what Greer has done. I believe that there's players that you know, he's... Well, we're going to look at his draft. He's done 55 draft picks since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
His best draft, par none, in my opinion, was 2016.
His first year,
which people argue back and forth. Is it really his first year? Was he really in control? All that stuff.
Yeah, because Tannenbaum was still around then.
He got X... You know, Howard and Tunsil that year, and Drake.
Yeah.
And Grant, who was a pretty good returner, and, you know, he was a contributor, not a cornerstone player.
Right.
But he did draft two cornerstone players in that draft. Hasn't done that since.
Yeah, Tunsil and Howard.
He's not done that since.
Yeah.
And well, we're saying cornerstone players, we're going to look at starters, and we're going to look at, you know, quality starters. These two guys are not only quality starters, they're the higher ranked cornerstone players.
Right.
All pros all the time. Okay. If we look at that, and let's start with last year. So everybody's, memories fresh on this. We only had four picks because we traded a sheesh load and lost a bunch because of that other stuff that we talked about with our owner and him and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of those four players...
Well, maybe we should just refresh the one part of that that is meaningful.
Which we're losing another draft
that
this
we,
year.
That we blame those loss of draft picks on Ross.
And Greer.
Well, it has been blamed squarely by everyone
on Ross. And Greer.
And the answer
in our
is...
book, yes.
Our book. Right.
Yes.
In our book, Greer is equally... at fault.
He was in
the boat.
He was on the boat, man. That's the bottom line.
Then he was part of it.
And he was.
Right?
He was stated that he was on the
boat. He may have arranged it to happen. We don't know the details. But he certainly participated in it, which means he's part of it, which means he should take an equal amount of blame as Ross.
And he's the one that should have said, I'm not going. If he had not gone and Ross did it on his own.
I would have been much more of a fan of Greer.
Me too.
If he said, you know what? I think you're violating the rules. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm not going to be there.
And if
you
he
go
stayed,
have your conversation.
And if we don't know that conversation and we don't know why, let's say that conversation occurred, but we're not privy to it for whatever, you know, for because the Dolphins actually being smart instead of talking every shit in the air like we do. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that he wasn't there speaks volumes. If that was the case. But no, he was there.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was. So, back to this year, Scott. Four drafts, picks, and first one was Smith, who, you know, we hear now that he's going to be a superstar. I say the jury's out, okay? We don't know. Last time I saw him, he was getting burned terribly on a play. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Hopefully, he's going to turn the corner. Hopefully, he's going to want to be a pro.
Right.
We don't know.
So, based on first year, you could say bust, but we just don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. And worth on talent, you're saying, well, the guy's got tremendous talent.
Yeah. When you draft a guy and he's your first pick in an entire draft and you basically never see him on the field after years, that's a bust.
So
Channing Tindall is a bust.
Yeah, we'll get to him. So A-Chang was the other guy that's on the team now. The other guys did not make the team. We have four picks. We have two guys that are now playing. We have no starters. But I want to rate A-Chang as a quality starter, even though he's not a starter. I know I'm contradicting myself, but
yeah.
I think he's as good or better.
If he could stay healthy,
yes,
which is the big question.
So
then he should be a starter.
So would you agree?
As good as Mostert's numbers are, his are better for the amount of time
he
played.
So do we agree to add him and say give him Greer a quality starter or no at this point? Because I'm just giving Greer the benefit
of
the doubt.
I'm so on the fence. So
I know, it's not that simple, is it?
Yes, but it's not that simple because he's often injured. Injured three times this year, missed games in three different segments.
So even though he's not a starter, even though he missed a sheesh load of games, we're going to...
He was pretty spectacular.
When
he
was,
he was in there.
He was fantastic.
Yes.
And have we run him more? Who knows? But, okay.
Right.
So let's give Greer one quality starter of last year's draft. Not bad. 25% hit. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, next year, again, four draft picks. Again, because of the reasons we gave and the trade for Hill. So, on this one, we had basically... We don't have one single quality starter. We have zero. Because basically we have Tindall, who's not going to be with the team this year, according to every report I've read. And Sukama, who we all love, but has been an injury. Poor kid's just been injured left and right. Cameron Good, who, I don't know, got injured. Maybe he's going to come back.
We haven't seen him. He hasn't contributed.
And Skylar Thompson. So we don't have one contributor on that whole draft. Zero. No quality starters, obviously.
Right.
Okay. Moving on to the famous draft with the Waddle. Okay. 2021. In this draft, we have seven draft picks. We have the full array.
We didn't start with seven.
Yeah.
We moved around a lot to get seven.
Well, but let's look
at
this.
You and I would have stayed where we were and drafted Chase.
Well, you and I would stay where we were and drafted Creed Humphreys that we talked about.
Yes.
But this is the Eichenberg draft. But there are three quality players in this draft. And who are they? Waddle, Phillips, and Holland. Do we say two of those are quality starters?
Phillips is, for sure. Holland Waddle,
is. So we say three? We say three?
Yeah, that's a good draft.
Okay. So three quality
three
starters.
Out of seven.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
And the rest, you know, it's basically out the window. Then comes the Tua draft, and that's 11 draft picks. That's when we sold the farm.
In order to rebuild.
To rebuild.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one that I think is kind of disheartening because.
Wait a minute. Eichenberg was in the Waddle year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't mention that. Anyway.
Well, but he's not a quality starter.
No, of course not. He's a starter. But
yeah.
His numbers are put him at the bottom of the league in his, at his position.
So. Yeah, we had Hunter Long and, you know, Dokes and whatever.
Yeah.
There's just nothing on that draft.
Yeah.
But this is an interesting draft because we had the most picks that we've ever had, that I've ever remember since way back.
Since
when
we used
when
to have
used to be
11 or 12
a million
round
rounds.
Draft. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was Tua, Austin Jackson, Noah Hunt, Raquan Davis, Brandon Jones, I mean, Solomon Kinley, we traded up for, Weaver, Ferguson. So Ferguson is not a quality starter, but he's a contributor because he's our long snapper, right?
Right.
Tua, I say quality starter.
Yep.
Austin Jackson has become one after.
Right, after we were calling him a bust for three
Everybody
years.
Was.
Yeah.
Hunt was a quality starter.
Yes.
But he's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Davis, no. Brandon Jones, no. Because Brandon Jones won't even be on the team this year. He's not even signed.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's weird.
Yeah.
But.
When he was used in that zero blitz thing, he was really effective.
He was really
at that,
effective.
But.
Kinley was terrible. So this draft. When you look at it, we have what we're going to say what? Tua and Jackson and Hunt, three?
Yeah.
So we got seven quality starters in those four drafts, right? The draft after that is the Wilkins and Van Ginkle draft, and those two were good guys.
Yep.
My Gaskin was a contributor. So it was a
for
decent
a short period of time, yeah.
A decent draft. But where we start really getting killed is that in 2018 and 2017, the drafts were horrendous. In those two drafts, we had Minka, again, not a contributor, he's gone. Gasecki, nothing. Baker, contributor, but he's going to be gone. Smite, contributor, still on the team. And that's it. We start, you know, Sanders. So basically what's happening
actually,
is...
Actually, if you look at the drafts, they're not quite as bad as I thought they were. It's the management of the players following the
by
draft.
By losing them all or
is,
some of them?
That's bad. Yes.
Well, 55 draft picks and 15 of them are going to be on the team.
When is all this year?
All said and done, we're going to have 55 draft picks. I don't think that's good. That's 7%, right?
Yeah,
or something.
I think
well,
part
not
of
even
the problem
seven, no,
is that
that's more.
He hasn't really drafted stars or drafted and kept stars, and he's never drafted a superstar.
No, he hasn't drafted one superstar. That's 27% of our players are going to be drafted. That's what kills us right there. I mean,
that's what keeps us mediocre.
Yes.
Because there are GMs that will hit lower than that.
Well, I looked at
all
Kansas,
through the league.
I looked at Kansas City.
But the winners have GMs that hit higher than that.
I looked at Kansas City, and Kansas City had 23 draft picks in the last 3 years, and 14 of them are starters.
Yeah.
Six of them are quality starters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. It's been the drafting of Greer has not been accepted. It's been what we've always said. It's not like, again, Your words are interesting. Not as bad. Greer's not bad. He's just average.
Yeah, he's just average. That's
same old story. You know, doesn't change from there. So
how do we get out of being a mediocre team?
We get rid of Greer.
We have to have a draft that brings in high quality players,
a home
that,
run
that contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And operate on their rookie contracts to keep us in the green on the money side.
He's drafted pretty well. Fitzpatrick has been first team all pro in three of the last 4 years. 17 interceptions, 5 fumble recoveries in the last 4 seasons. An impact player.
That's such a tough one to talk about because everyone blames Flo.
The guy who he hired.
That's the reason that he's not on the team, but it's still in Chris Greer's, responsibility because he brought Flo in here.
If you hire a coach that sucks, you know.
It's your fault.
It's you. It's not like.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, I gave him a great player and I gave a bad coach. I mean, come on. But here's where he's failing us. We have 3 offensive linemen signed. And they're Eichenberg, Jackson, and Armstead.
And perpetually, for as long as I can remember, the offensive line has been bad and always a problem and always a worry in the offseason. And here we go again.
But yeah, there we go.
It's a broken, skipping record that no one's moving the needle.
You know, we talked about him being able to move the cap. Well, the cap was we increased to $31 million this year, up to $255 million. We're still you checked it, $20 million or so, still 2021.
Yes, we're still
over at the cap.
$20 million over the cap, which is the second worst in the NFL right now.
Jeez.
With 5 days to go.
Wow. And what are we doing? I mean, we're signing guys like Bailey just got signed for a 2-year deal, and I was going to tell you a little bit about him, what he did last year. His average punt, he was 30th in long punts.
Yeah,
23.
Why did we resign him?
Inside the 20, he was awesome. He was number 23. I mean, it sucks. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
He was 23 in the league. He was overall 30th, and we signed him for 2 more years.
Well, you know, the jury's still out. The way that gets fixed is that we either draft a punter or bring in a free agent punter or whatever and have him compete and have him win the job because he's better.
Well, there was a kid.
If we do nothing, then it's just yet another reason to get rid of Greer.
And we spoke about Kansas City picking up the San Diego State kid, the punter god.
Yeah.
And they picked him up for nothing.
Yeah.
Because he was a free agent.
Yep.
But I don't even think we even put a bid for him. We didn't try for him, or I don't know what we did. But, you know, our team was voted number one for the facility, for coaching. Best place to play. Let's talk about that
for
a second. By
players.
By players.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yet, Howard, I heard an interview with him, and it killed me.
He's bitter.
I know, but
he's
killed me.
His whole ego is tied in.
It still killed me.
With his money and his...
Because you can be bitter, but you're leaving a team and he's leaving the way everyone in Miami is treated when they leave, you know, to trash talking.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to go someplace where I can go deep in a playoff run. Mm-hmm. Insinuating what? Obviously, the Miami's not a place that can go deep in a playoff run because we never do.
That is true.
We're one and done.
Can't argue with him because there's no evidence.
But he threw it right there. Then he says, I want to go to Houston. A team that's under the cap, like ridiculous amount.
Yeah, they're number 5 in the league.
And they're young, and they draft extremely well, and they got a great franchise quarterback. Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago that they were a joke.
Yeah, well,
right?
All it took was getting rid of Watson.
Like two years ago, they were
O'Brien, this guy was a lunatic.
Yep. And they got good people in the right
places. They did stupid
trades. And now they've done brilliant stuff.
Yeah, they gave Hopkins away for nothing. And they were just a disaster.
Yep.
But then the good management went in there. They got rid of Watson for a boatload.
Yes.
And now they got great picks. They're way under the cap. And they have won a playoff game.
Yep.
So I see them as an up-and-comer. But, you know, he said that. I don't believe that. So X, you know, threw the mud at us going, okay, could be bitter, like you said, but the words sting. And why they sting? Because they're
true.
They sound truth.
Yes.
Then we have Hunt asking, he's going to get the most money out there he can. We never wrapped him up when we could have. We knew that he was one of the best picks that Greer's ever had on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of this Dieter and whatever else.
Yeah, he has a long history of terrible offensive line draft picks, and Hunt is the shining example of a great one.
Yeah, Solomon Kinley.
At this point, I don't really count the left tackle anymore.
Jackson?
Because...
You mean the right tackle, Jackson?
No, the left tackle.
Tunsil,
this first draft. It's hard to count him because he really hasn't contributed to the Dolphins.
No, yeah, same thing with Minka.
He drafted him, but then traded him. So, yeah.
We traded those guys for assets, and there he got Jackson, who was like we discussed him earlier.
A bust until this year.
This year, he's done really, really well, and he's a quality starter now, you know, in my book. So
well, maybe PFF stats support you.
But the problem we're seeing now is we still haven't touched the big one. The big one. We're saying X is gone. I say that was a good move. Armstead not retiring, bad for the Dolphins. But we're gonna get him for hopefully 8 games. That's my best scenario.
It's one of the best LPs in the league when he plays.
Yeah,
but the problem is,
oh geez,
not
first
available.
Game of the year, he was on 4 different things with an injury: ankle, knee, back. Yeah. I mean, come on, he's not gonna make I don't think there even is a decent odd on that, on him playing. You know, it's like over under's got to be 8 games.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Okay, the big one, Wilkins, and I'll say what I've told you privately. I think if we sign him before Wednesday, yes, we get him. Have his agent. I'll be talking to them. Say the agent, say get a feeler out there, see what the market is now that there's a legal tampering. Which again, don't even get me started on that. That's the biggest joke in the history of mankind. You can now legally cheat. I mean, come on. They've been talking to these guys.
You can start talking, but you can't sign a deal.
You can't sign a deal. Yeah, whatever. Okay. So basically all these guys I say, please get a feeler. And whatever you come back, let's get the deal done now. Because once that free agency hits, he's gone. He's gone. So my opinion, he's gone. Hunt is gone. Williams, we have a chance of getting him, but he's right now damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's going to come back strong. We don't know.
Yeah.
So what are we relying on? Another year without a third and a fourth draft pick. Another year with limited draft picks. And hopefully, I think we're in trouble. I just see trouble.
Literally, yeah. I mean, you could draft 4 offensive linemen in this draft.
Yeah.
To try and find both a starter and people to grow.
Okay,
you don't have the picks,
but we don't have the money. So you let me just give you a couple scenarios. We still need a corner.
Yep.
Regardless, we need another corner.
Yep.
Big time. Linebacking is an issue right now.
We don't even have the linebackers.
We have one safety on the contract. Where else do you want me to start? We have 3 offensive linemen, 1 safety. We need linebacker. We need another corner. Holy Toledo.
Defensive
and
tackle.
Not to mention, we don't have a third receiver because Berrios is a free agent, and he already said goodbye.
Yeah.
How much he loved being with the Dolphins for 1 year. Thank you so much. So they told him the exit, you're done.
Yeah.
Now, why you would get rid of one of the most bravest hombres that we have back out there, I don't get it, because to me, I don't know. I just love his attitude. I love the kid that takes the ball, has the guts.
When you have an employee that loves what he's doing, is full of energy, contributes on every level, even if he's not your best employee, you want to keep him.
Or have someone beat him out. If you told me, look, we got this kid, he's a lot quicker than him, because he's not the fastest.
Right.
He's just the gutsiest, in my opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion, he's like Landry, man. I mean, he reminds me of Landry, not as skillful as Landry was, but Landry was that fearless, you know, guy that was going to fight everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not quite as crazy as Landry, but he has that guts. He'll go over the middle. He'll do whatever it takes. I would rather have the Dolphins sign him than Bailey, our kicker, our punter. I mean, it's just to me, we keep rewarding in inefficiency at special teams. Our coach to start with him. You know, we're one of the worst rated teams. Boom, we get our punter right there on the line. He was 30th, just like our special teams. Boy, we got to sign that guy again. I mean, think about that logic, man.
How are you going to improve?
I mean,
same guy, same coach. Bottom of the league.
Same rating.
How's it going to get better?
Their whole point is that, you know, it can't get any worse, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. It can. A little.
A little. It could go one spot back. But the point is it's repetitive on that side, on that the special team. So we can't really rely on special teams to win anything. And then we get rid of our best guy, our best punt returner, the most gutsiest guy, the smartest guy back out there.
Yeah.
So we need to replace him too. So there is trouble in the Dolphin Nation, and starting with, like we started up on the top, we have a trouble that hasn't even happened yet, which is Hill. So what do I see? I see a challenging year, a very challenging year. And we've been saying all offseason, wow, with that cap looks like a problem. Well, now we got the relief. We got so much money. It still looks like a problem to me. Because there's three guys that we need to restructure. It's going to be most likely Ramsey, Hill, again, and just get Hill a bunch of money guaranteed and all that stuff. And Hill, like I said, he's going to want to be the top paid guy in the NFL. I guarantee you he's going to want to restructure that contract to get paid more.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the top of any team and you see the most highest paid players. But, you know, if you got a great quarterback, quarterback's at the top.
Number one.
Yeah. So for us,
that's another problem.
Hill is number one. Ramsey's number two. Chubb is number three. Tua is number four. Although, of course, that's going to change.
So what's common with that?
Armstead is number five. So I skipped over Howard, who still has a cap number associated with him, even though he's been cut.
Okay. Of those five people you mentioned, only one was drafted by the Dolphins.
Tua.
Yeah. Only one.
Yeah. Everything else has been by trade.
Everything else.
And overpayment. Trade and overpayment.
Well, Chubb was a trade. Ramsey was a trade.
That's what I said.
Armstead was an overpay. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, we paid the top dollars for him.
Yeah. Well, okay. You mean trade versus free agency?
Yeah. Free agency was one free agency, right?
Yeah.
The other three was trades.
The other three were all trades. Mm-hmm.
And again, that shows you how we drafted. We just haven't drafted those elite players that deserve that kind of money.
Right.
Next year, we're going to be in trouble because we're going to have quite a bit of guys like Phillip, like Holland, Waddle. All those guys are going to be coming up.
Yep.
And we don't have any of those guys extended. So is it time to panic in Miami? I think so. I think it's time that we make some kind of move because if we stay steady, we're going to just stay mediocre forever. So
we'll never get over the hump.
Yeah, I'm proposing to get over the hump. We need those elite players to come in. And that's the only way to get those guys in, I'm sorry, is to draft. You have to draft them. You have to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
Do what Houston's doing. When you look at Houston Texans, their best players, who's free agent there? I mean, Singletary. Okay, well, whatever. I mean, that's everybody else was drafted in the last couple of years.
Yes.
You know, Will Anderson, this guy's a beast. Their quarterback, Stroud, geez, this guy looks like a all-world. So that's what we need to do.
The rookie wide receiver that was tearing up the league.
Tank Dell, third-round pick, if I recall. Also their other receiver, Collins. All those guys were guys that were drafted, maybe not by this regime, but this regime did pick a lot of the talent that's on that team.
Mm-hmm.
The team's very, very talented. And they traded for Tunsil. They still got him there. He's a great left tackle. Many say the best in football. And they got a lot of picks and a lot of under. But this on the Dolphins, we want to get to that kind of a position. And the decision on Tua that's looming, we don't have to do anything this year. But are we going to really let him walk? Are we going to franchise tag him next year?
Well, right now we can't afford to franchise tag anyone. Because of we're so far over the cap. That's why Wilkins doesn't have a franchise tag. You know?
And he's going to walk.
Yeah.
He's going to walk. Yeah, we're in a difficult position in my
head. I don't know how we afford him. I don't have no expectation that we could compete with another team that wants him.
I have hope. I really have hope that Miami can really pull a tremendous draft this year. But again, we have a first and a second, no third, no fourth. Are we going to start accumulating draft picks by moving back? Maybe. But we don't want to pass on a stud that's there. If it's a wide receiver, take him. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a third receiver. Hill goes down, does one of his shenanigans, stupid things. We're going to be in trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah.
So drafting a receiver, drafting a corner, drafting a linebacker, getting a safety. It's a lot of things that need to be addressed in Miami.
Yeah.
Greer needs
not to
be to
mention
super busy.
Three offensive linemen at least.
So, I say four.
Yeah, that's what I said. Four.
Lamb has to be signed. Why he's not signed, I have no idea why we didn't sign that guy.
Mm.
We need a swing tackle that can play left and right.
Because
we know he's going to play left, right?
Correct.
I mean,
you better have somebody for all those games that Armstead isn't there.
And that's going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, the reason of this podcast is to look at the state of the union here, the state of Dolphin Nation. And it is a little bleak. But it can be saved by crushing the draft. That's the only way it can be saved in my book. There's no other way. We need to draft cornerstone players, at least two in this draft.
Yeah, because we're not buyers in the free agent market.
No, we're not going to get any. We're going to get.
Our free agents will be signed in June when people are cut.
And let me tell you what Greer does. And I know we joked about it, but Greer loves these injured discount players.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to get. This guy has so much potential. He blew out his knee last year, but look how great he is. And that's what the kind of players that probably not impactful. No, they're not. I mean, they're guys that you're taking a risk. You're rolling the dice. They're guys with injury history. That's what we're going to get. So, yeah, I mean, I've been a little pissed looking at everything because I say, wow, you know, what's it going to take? And I just see something that I'm not sure Greer is capable of doing, really just taking these players and taking it, you know, top-notch cornerstone players. But that's where we are, Scott. That's the state of the Dolphins. And Wednesday we should look at, what happens with the free agency.
Yeah. So probably another podcast next week.
Another podcast next week. And hopefully we are active, but I don't know how we're going to be active.
Some bombshell of a move somewhere to clear up all that
trading Hill might be the way to get ourselves.
I mean, that
would
instantly put us $10 million under the cap. So,
well, I know I'm dreaming, but it's not going to happen. Yeah. But let's see. Let's see what happens.
Let's end on a positive note.
Uh-huh.
Have you got anything cool coming up?
Well, I have the coolest thing is Alejandro, as you know, is having a son. Here in June, and that's exciting as shit for me because I'll be
Grandpa
a grandfather.
Alex.
I'll be a grandfather.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what I want him to call me. I mean, if anybody has a suggestion
Papa.
Out there, you know, I mean, abuelo.
Guru.
Abuelo is a good one, but it's so, you know, typical, maybe Tata or something. I don't know, something cool.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, but I don't know. I don't want to be called Grandpa. That sounds ancient to me. Abuelo sounds really ancient to me, too. So it's pretty bad. Maybe Tata, I don't know. I don't even know what that means, but I heard that people use it in Argentina or somewhere. So I said, well, maybe that. But anyway, what's going on with you?
Say hello to my little friend. So you've met Eric?
Yeah, of course.
Eric and I are going skiing next weekend up in Tahoe.
Oh, that's super cool.
I cannot wait. So we're going to meet at the Tahoe airport and drive to Kirkwood where his sister has a condo. And ski Kirkwood for a couple of days. Skiing is my
super. Yeah, you love that. You and you're drumming
bucket.
And skiing.
Yes, those are my things.
You
those
could do that simultaneously.
Spirit.
You'll be like a hero.
Yes. Well, I've told people that, especially my bandmates and stuff, that my bucket list is to ski for the day and then play at after ski, because after ski is there's always parties, especially at the big resorts,
mm-hmm.
Either in local bars or at the resort itself, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Jackson Hole last year. Per and I, you know, spent the day skiing and then hit the bottom of the slopes. We were talking about whether we were going to stay at the resort or go into town. And there was a live band setting up right
mm-hmm.
there at the base. And we're like, all right, let's get some drinks and hang out here for a while. And it was awesome. And that really fueled my desire. I was like,
I want
to do this.
Well, you just put it out there in the universe. Yeah. It'll find a way of getting it done, man.
Yep.
Well, that's really sounding cool.
I can't wait.
I can't wait for to hear the stories. I'm sure something classic will come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So wrapping up, Scott, so your position is no trade of Hill.
Yes, but just barely on the no trade. So
well,
I recognize the benefits of trading him, and I recognize how our team would have an instant offensive fall off by trading him.
Yes. So. And an instant.
We'll have less wins.
And, yeah. Well,
by losing Hill.
We're going to talk about that because I think our wins next year are going to go down.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Right now.
Okay, right now, I am.
I could change my mind.
Right now, I am.
But, yeah.
Okay. That's my position. I don't think it's going to happen, but that is my position. And we'll see. And you heard it here first. There is a looming lawsuit that no one here, I've haven't heard it anywhere in the press, that may drop that shoe, and we'll see how the NFL deals with another lawsuit against Mr. Hill.
Yeah.
We'll see. Okay.
All right, man.
All right, Scotty.
3, 2, 1.
Go Dolphins! Dolphins.
The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. We have a sponsor we'd like to thank, Sawbox Music Company, makers of eclectic stringed instruments, boutique tube amplifiers, and custom portable music devices. Check them out at sawboxguitars.com. That's SawboxGuitars.com. Or find them on Facebook. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there. Or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelitas Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring, because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Doll Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!
I don't wanna have to do this again.